Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Taylor. This is South Tower Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of North Georgia. And the organization, this is August the 1st, 2025, or it is the 9th day of Abe, 2029. We will continue our primary greetings, reading, Volume 1. Number 10 by V.T. Hollis, and it's entitled An Angel of the Yahweh. In layman's term, it is the House of David. Is the name of our sermon, is as the angel of the Yahweh. Okay. Our first thought for this sermon is taken from, Mount of Blessing by V.T. Hollis. And it says that, the first two paragraphs on page 159, Mount of Blessing 159. For Yahweh is our Father, who loves and cares for earth as his children. Now he is also the great King of the universe. For the interests of his kingdom are our interests, and we are to work for its upbuilding. For the disciples of Yeshua, Son of Yahweh, were looking for the immediate coming of their King, then of his glory. But in the giving them this prayer, Yeshua taught that the kingdom was not then to be established. They were to pray for his coming as an event, and yet future. But the petition was also an assurance unto them while they were yet future, that this petition was also an assurance unto them while they were not to behold the coming of the kingdom in their day. For the fact that Yeshua bade them pray for it is evidence that in the Yahweh's own time it will surely come. What is the seed thought contained in this reading? What should we pray about, that we may understand that prayer alone will not take us into the kingdom? That work is every bit as needful as is prayer. Yes, the interest of his kingdom should be uppermost in our minds. We are to work for its upbuilding as well as praying for it. In the present, the title of our sermon, The House of the David as the Angel of the Yahweh. October the 5th, 1946, by the V.T. Hollis. We shall turn unto Zechariah, the 12th chapter. The text of our subject is found in the 8th verse, but in order to find the time and the people unto which the verse directly speaks, we must begin our study with the first verse of the chapter. Zechariah 12:1. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, let's read the comment again. There are two points in this verse. Let's start all over again. Zechariah 12:1. For the burden of the word of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, for Israel, saith Yahshua, which stretches forth the heaven and layeth the foundation of the earth. Let's read that again. For the burden of the word of the Yahweh, the Father of Yahshua, for Israel, saith Yahweh the Father, which stretches forth the heaven and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. There are two points in this verse that we must seriously consider. That the burden is the Yahweh. And number two, that the burden is for Israel, the church, not for the world. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. From this verse we learn that the Gentile nations are to make a siege not only against Jerusalem, but against Judah also. Yes, against the entire kingdom church, our people. And at that time, at the time of the siege, Jerusalem will be made a cup of the trembling. Unto all people, that is, all the people shall fear Jerusalem and tremble before her. Zechariah 12:3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. This siege will not be made only by the nations adjacent unto Jerusalem, and verily by all of the people of the earth. For a certain, for a thing that is made possible only by the communication lines in our day. Thus will Jerusalem be a burdensome stone unto all the people round about, in an endeavor to combat their fear. They burden themselves by the besieging the city, by this evil work, they shall be cut in pieces. Zechariah 12:4. In that day, saith Yahshua, I will smite every horse with the astonishment, and his rider with the madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of the Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness, though the Yahshua shall smite with the madness, with the astonishment, and with the blindness, those who besiege the city. Yet he shall open his eyes upon the house of the Judah. Zechariah 12, and the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, thus, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my saints, and Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh. Okay. After the sinners are taken out from her midst by the judgment work for the living, then will the governors of the Judah realize that their strength depends upon the saintly inhabitants of Jerusalem. And again, Yahweh, their father, upon the Yahweh, their father, then it is that they will indeed be strong. Let us see now what the next verse says about this. Zechariah 12:6. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of the fire and a sheep. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. It matters not what we think, for Yahweh is to have a strong, faithful people, as the very kind here described, and in the Jerusalem is to be for the Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem is to be inhabited by the holy people, not a sinner among them, since the antitypical prophet Elijah, who appears just holy people, this Elijah who appears just before the great and dreadful day of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, just before the judgment day for the living, finds the church overrun by the devil as badly as was the Jewish church in Yahshua's day. And as the saints, the first fruit, are to be rescued one by one, he at first sends fishes to fish them out, and afterwards the hunters to hunt them out. Jeremiah 16:16. Thus he gathers them one by one, Isaiah 27:12-13. And so it is today. They are fished by this free literature, and are now hunted by the men right to their houses, be they in the city, village, or the countryside. Zechariah 12:7. For the Asher also shall say, save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against the Judah. He shall save the tents, the humble dwellings, rather than the houses are the palaces of the Judah first, that in the Asher is to save first the common people, the laity, so that the ministry may not exalt themselves above the laity, that all may learn to give glory unto Yahweh, not unto any man. There's nothing such as these verses of the scripture predict has ever taken place in Jerusalem or in any other part of the world. Obviously, these predictions are yet to meet their fulfillment. And now we are to find out if they are to be fulfilled in our time or later on. Since the work we are now doing is not sponsored by any man, and since Yahweh has led us all the way as definitely as he led the Exodus movement, making our way inch by the inch as the providence directs, and also since we are as the only people who have the message of the reestablishment of the house of the David and of the restoring all things. That's what I've been looking for. Restoring all things. Mark 9:12. And are therefore named the Davidians. There is no exception of the conclusion. Verily, that the time for the fulfillment of these prophecies is very close at hand, even at the door. The reason for which the announcement of these events is now being trumpeted throughout the Adventist world. Finally, then, whatever the Lord has to say in this chapter is for our learning and for our own special and present needs. It is a communication especially addressed unto us and unsealed at this particular time, so that we may know what Yahweh would have us do and how to do it, so that quickly all things be restored. So this, it says that we are now to read the text of our study, Zechariah 12:8. And that day shall Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is people among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of Yahweh before them, besides giving us the assurance that Yahshua shall defend his people. Inspiration likens them unto David and unto Yahweh. Actually, it should say unto the son Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, the father. Even the feeble ones shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. What a great and a wonderful statement. What a privilege to be likened unto the father Yahweh himself. Now, the son of Yahweh, Yahshua, which everyone is talking about really here. Now, in the order for one to know what it means to be as a David, One must know what kind of the person ancient David was. To begin with, he was a first-rate shepherd. He risked his own life for the sheep. You remember that in order to save the lamb, he courageously went after the lion and the bear and killed them with his bare hands. And to save his nation's independence and Yahweh's great honor, on another occasion he again risked his life by bravely facing the giant Goliath. Because of David's faithfulness, Yahweh delivered him from the beast and from the giant and made him king over his people. Therefore, the faithfulness of a person in the little things indicates his faithfulness in the greater things also. Faithfulness always brings promotion. So in order to be as the David, one must be as faithful, as dependable, and as zealous for the Yahweh's kingdom as was the David of old. Now that we might know what it means to be as Yahweh, we must study what Yahweh is like. At the outset, he did not only create and abundantly fill the earth with every good thing for his creatures, but he also planted a garden home for the man. Thus he made a model home for all human beings who were to live thereafter, and he taught Adam how to keep the home and how to address the garden. He taught him to speak and to discern the nature between the one beast and another, to name them accordingly. For Yahweh endowed man with the knowledge and life and the order for the making him happy and useful in the making the world what it is ought to be. Even after the holy pair fell in the sin, Yahweh was still interested in them as he was before, so much so in the fact that he immediately began to teach them how to redeem themselves and to return unto the eternal home. From that day unto this, he thus continued to teach the human family. To do this saving work, Yahweh sent down the Spirit of the Truth. That's what I want to outline, Spirit of the Truth. He sent the prophets and angels, also his only son, all teachers of the redemption. For he himself descended on the Sinai, and even though they slew nearly all of his servants, including his son, yet his unfailing interest in the human race has continued on unto this very day, notwithstanding our faults, his promise to take us back into Eden, there to live with him, if we repent, still stands as sure as there's the sun. Now you see what Yahweh is like, and if we are to be as Yahweh, then that is what we too must be like. That means that we must be as interested in the one another and in the upbuilding of his kingdom as he is interested we are to be as unselfish as he is. We must gladly teach others all that he has taught us. We are to do all we can to improve the living conditions of others. We are to make the world better than it could be if we were not in it. In the creation week, Yahweh did his part. Now we are to do our part of the creation if we are to be as Yahweh. Whatever good thing we may have, be it a trade or some other gift that is worth having, we are to be as faithful in it and as anxious to teach it unto others as he is faithful and anxious to teach us. If we neglect this duty, we shall not only fail to be as Yahweh, but shall even be required to give account of our neglect. All through my life I have found people very selfish and fearful that someone would get ahead of them in one way or another. I think. When I was learning my trade, I often found it necessary to ask questions. But some with whom I was working evaded my questions. For their selfishness, nevertheless, did not stop me from learning what I wanted to know. I learned it in some other way. Those men, however, did not profess to be so far advanced in the Christian living as we profess to be, and for this reason, their jealousy and selfishness can be charged only to the ignorant, but we who know better should try to pass on our knowledge to as many as possible, expecting nothing in the return but the success in life. For Yahweh himself will reward us. But if we try to keep our knowledge unto ourselves, we most assuredly shall be as the loser. Remember also that whatsoever good we may possess is a gift from the Yahweh the Father. Right here, the age-old sin of Chris Master. There is no limit to the good that one can do if he does not care who gets the credit. For the Yahweh taught the birds how to live and how to build eggs and how to raise their young. Then should we not help others to build and to better their homes and living? You recall Yahshua said, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of the cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Matthew 10:42. For the Yahweh, were the Yahweh not what he is, He was not the Yahweh. And if we continue as we ever were, we shall never be as the Yahweh. For the house of the David, moreover, is to be as the angel of the Yahweh before them. What does this statement mean? It means that if we are to be the members of the house of the David, members of the house of the David, we must be as the David, as the Yahweh, and as the angels who also, for the angels excel in the strength, for they obey the Yahweh's commandments, they hearken unto the voice of his word, Psalms 102:20, they are always at hand to minister unto the saints, and they have led them safely over every conflict throughout the ages, for Yahweh expects his church and people to be just such as the angel of the Yahshua, or the Yahweh, for regardless that we as individuals choose to be, Yahweh nevertheless will have a church that will be all of these. Now, what is the overall purpose of the house of the David? For the house of the David, the scripture reveals, is still built up for a threefold purpose. Number one, during the ingathering of the people, it is to build the old waste, to raise up the former desolation, and to repair the waste city, for the desolations of many generations, Isaiah 61:4. This work of the rebuilding and restoring, I'm going to underscore that, has its type the rebuilding of the ancient Jerusalem by the ancient Jews, returning from the Babylonian captivity and to the land of their fathers, just as they were to build the waste, the former desolation, the temple of the Yahweh, the city and the walls, and to restore, the worship of the Yahweh according unto the Yahshua's own divine will. So we too, now in the antithetical ingathering, are called to do a similar work, only much greater, both in the scope and in the proportion. We must therefore labor even more incessantly than they labored, and be happy and thankful for having taken, privileged to have a part in such a great and glorious work. Number two, in the addition unto this great and grand work, for in Yahweh's hand as a battle axe, Jeremiah 51:20, he is with it to break the Gentiles' yoke which now rests upon the shoulders of Yahweh's people. With it he is to emancipate his people from the Gentile rule, from the Assyria, and from the Egypt, and from the Petros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, Isaiah 11:11, With it, he is to set up an ensign for the nation. There's that ensign, and that's the house that David represents. And to assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:12. To get this work done, we are to be at first the many fishers, then the many hunters, Jeremiah 16:16. Thus it is that the first fruits are to be gathered one by one, Isaiah 27:12. We are now in the hunting days, going from city to city, from village to village, and from door to door. And that is true because in 1949, they sent a man to our place out in the country, on a farm, many miles away from the church, 40, 50 miles away, and he come out there walking, carrying his suitcase. He moved on to our property and he taught us for 6 months this message that he had. Yeah, he hunted us to our very door. And we took us 22 years to finally realize that he had the truth, and we accepted that truth 22 years later. Besides fishing and hunting, we also are to make a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left after the first fruits are gathered from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. And this hunting is over, after this hunting is over, and the highway is built, then it is that the second fruits, the Gentiles, will flow unto the mountain of the Yeshua's house, which is the house of David. That's who we are. We're this house of David, and we are this antithetical David, this prophet of this house today. One nation is, as it were, will say unto another nation, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of the Zion, and the word of the Yahshua from Yahushua, Micah 4:2. Thus our work has also as its type the Exodus movement, going out of the Egypt, establishing itself in the promised land as they were freed from the Egyptian bondage. So we shall be freed from the world's yoke, and just as they possess the land and set up the kingdom, so shall we if we make their mistakes are stepping stones to success. Number three, finally, we are to hasten the coming of the day of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, wherein the heavens, being on the fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. For we are to bring the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, 2 Peter 3:12-13. For another phase of this work, we also have the flood as a type, as the Noah preaching brought the world to an end in his day, so our preaching will bring the world to an end in our day. As the faithful of that day found refuge in the Noah's Ark, so the faithful of today shall find refuge in the kingdom, the church purified, house of David, the everlasting kingdom here set upon this earth, Daniel 2:44-45. and the days of these kings, that's what we're in right now, here forecast, for the work of these three movements, Zacharias, Moses, and Noah's, therefore typifies every phase of our work. Okay, here is clearly seen that our work given, or Yahweh given work, does not consist of the preaching alone, verily of the manual work also, for there are the thousands in the world who are as anxious for the preaching as are the bears that fill up their stomachs after coming out of their winter hibernation, but there are few who will put their shoulders to the wheel and keep on pushing. What the world needs today is not preachers, but teachers who can teach with one hand and use the pick or the shovel with the other hand. Neither is the world in the need of men, angling for the Moses and for the Aaron's office, but it is in the dire need of men who can take orders and successfully carry them through. Men who dare face the giant, the lion, and the bear. Men who dare be heroes for Yahweh. Men wondered at. Men with the unfailing faith and unlimited patience, believing that Yahweh Himself is steering the ship, and that therefore there can be no failure, for the world certainly needs men like Noah, Moses, David, Ezra, Nehemiah, and a great number of Jobs. Our work and duty are now made as clear as they can be made at this particular time, for we need not, therefore, err, need not be ignorant of what is to be done and how it is to be done. Many honestly believe that they are doing Yahweh's work, or at least helping in it. But if they wait, will examine their daily accomplishments, their motives, their aims and purposes, some will find that they are not working for the Yahweh, but that they are either killing time or working for the self. Actually now, as in the Moses time, there are occasions when one is at a loss to know whether the saints or the devils are busily engaged in the Yahweh's great work. Stop, listen, think, check up on yourself, for it will be well worth your time and your energy. Find out who you are, what you are, and where you are. Ezra and Nehemiah had an arduous time in the building of the ancient waste. I believe that Yahweh should have put angels to keep away their enemies from the interfering with their project, but He chose to have the faithful builders hold the sword in the one hand and the bricks in the other hand. Nehemiah 4:17-18. Their work was as hard, if not harder, than ours is, but they were faithful at it, and we cannot afford to be any less faithful. Yes, they did as much working as they did teaching, for they taught not only religion, but buildings also. Do you not see that as the types point out, the things we are called to do cannot be done by the teaching alone? We are now ready to read Zechariah 12:9-10, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of the grace and of the supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in the bitterness for him as he that is in bitterness for his firstborn. When the Yahweh begins to destroy the nations, he will pour upon his saints the spirit of the grace. And then will they really mourn for sin against the Yahweh. For it is because men do not now have that spirit that their personal feelings are so easily hurt for any little thing done against them. And since the spirit of the grace causes one to mourn, not for itself, it is understandable that to pity oneself and to be hurt over what others do or say against him is a sure sign that rather than being imbued with the spirit of the grace, he is imbued with the spirit of the devil, and who is daily seeking to discourage and to dishearten by the pitying self. Remember that self-pity is outright self-defeat.
That's right.
Not one of us has ever been abused as was the Yeshua, and yet self in him never was hurt. If we are to be sorry for anyone, let us not be sorry for self. We sometimes think we are sorry for our sinning and are causing the Yeshua to be abused and crucified, but our sorrows is not real. It is only there theoretical. When the spirit of the grace is poured upon us, then shall we fully realize that it was not the law, the Jews, but the sins of all of us that crucified the Yeshua. That is wrong. I wasn't alive when he was crucified, so my sins had nothing to do with crucifying Yahshua. And then we could count it a privilege to be aroused for the Yahshua's sake. Zechariah 12:11-14. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of the head of the Rimmon in the valley of the Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of the David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of the Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of the Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of the Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. For a great day is coming, brother, sister. If that day was not right at hand, we would not today have this light cast on our pathway. Let us therefore work for the upbuilding of the Yeshua's kingdom, the kingdom of David, this great mountain of the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, in these last days, that his will be done in us, and thus at long last be done on the earth as it is done in the heaven, as the forerunners of his kingdom. Let us do all we can to prove worthy of the standing with him on the Mount Zion, to be as Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before the saints, to carry of the everlasting gospel unto all the nations, and thus to bring the world's sins and woes to an end. This brings the end of our study of One Time of Greetings, number 9. We're going to close now with a song.